Today, Daryl said, let me give you a little background. Daryl's my stepdad. Today, Daryl said, I am sick from not a lot of nookie. My stepdad.
Yeah, no. That's TMI, Daryl.
I was like, Daryl! Chill out, man.
Don't make me emphasize the weird syllable in your name.
You're getting weird, man. We haven't fought since I was 19. And we remember how that went.
Uh-oh.
Anyways. So, welcome back to Candy Teeth Radio. We love it here. The smell of it. Today, it's me, Jeremy Gregory, Jeff Weig.
Hello.
Horacio.
Hola.
Big Mom. You can call him Big Mom. And a very special guest, Michael Kohler. Thank you.
What's up?
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
We made it happen.
We did. At long last.
That's awesome. It felt awesome when I saw you walk in here. It's like, we did it, finally.
I exist.
You messed it up. I messed it up.
Yeah.
Our communication, Instagram texting communication.
Yeah.
It wasn't working out, but we got it figured out. And so now we're in Hawaii.
On location.
We're just going to have a little talk on the beach.
We got corporate to pay for this one.
So, Michael Kohler, first, we should just say your Instagram handle, just so people can go there right now and check it out.
Right, right.
So it's at
Lord of the Fjord.
Lord of the Fjord.
FJORD.
Don't forget the J. I know it's weird.
Yeah. Not Lord of Ford. Lord of the Fjord.
You idiots. Sorry. That was me.
We love you.
That was me.
Yeah.
You're my favorite. Push like.
I'm really surprised that was available.
Yeah, cool. Me too. You know, it used to be Pizza Fjord. And that was just like, I like pizza. I like fjords. I'm going to put it together. And that's my name.
No one's going to be that ever.
And then I just kind of got burnt out on it for some reason after buying, like, you know, 100 business cards.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to change it. And I didn't really think. I was just like, I like the fjord too much to get rid of that. And I changed it. And then I Googled it after I changed it. And I was like, that's been around for a long time. Like, yeah. It's on boats and, like,
yeah,
you know, and I was just like, I'm not changing it again. I don't care.
That's it.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
I'm the Lord of the Fjord.
Yeah. That's it.
But it's not like you're Lord of the Fjord 13 or something.
Yeah,
like
that, you know? Yeah. I'm the sequel to the prequel.
So your artwork. Let's get into your artwork first, just a little bit, because then I want to try to trick you into DJing by playing a song. By playing a game.
Okay.
Called Storytime Sing-Along.
Oh, boy.
That you brought records for, right?
I did. I yeah.
For our nifty record player, turntable. Sorry, record player. Did you see this thing? It packs up.
I like this handle. It's very, like, ergonomic. Ooh, it's, like, weighty, too.
Isn't that? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's satisfying.
No, it's battery. You can battery.
Yeah.
You can bring this on a
picnic.
Yeah, or the bus.
Or the beach.
Headphones. Auxiliary. See what I'm saying? It changed our whole podcast.
Have you ever taken this on the bus?
No, I'm gonna, though.
You got to.
Yeah, that's not... If I didn't do that, that'd be weird. This would all be wasted, like the whole travel pack asset.
That's true, yeah. Don't even use the headphone jack. Just be like, this is for everybody on the bus.
Yeah, well, I'll just be that guy.
Yeah.
It's on speakerphone.
Just hold it up to your head, though.
Yeah. Yeah, can't every time I do that, it stops.
Yeah.
That's funny. And you don't see the one more thing. The strap that goes with it that makes it a messenger turntable.
Nice. So you could put your documents in that thing.
Boom.
And
shut
play
it
a record.
Yeah. Serve somebody and just be playing them the blues.
Like, so do you like electric blues or acoustic blues? And they're like, electric, I guess. And you're like, all right, put on some Stevie Ray Vaughan and be like, are you so and so? Yeah. This is for you.
Served.
Served. Gotta go.
So you moved here. Wait a minute. You moved here.
I moved to Tacoma.
To Tacoma, Washington.
Right. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes. That's what I was guessing. I was like, it's a P one.
Yeah. It's not the other P one. Where the...
I thought it was Philly.
Yeah.
In my head.
A lot of people... Well, I met a lot of people from Philly over here. It's basically... For everybody who is from Washington listening to this podcast right now, Philly and Pittsburgh are like Tacoma and Spokane. Right. They're that far apart.
Yeah.
And everything in between... Like, in Washington, it's rednecks. In Pennsylvania, it's the Amish and rednecks.
Whoa.
And, like, mountains.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh, not Philly. Pittsburgh's great. I've lived there for 30 whatever years.
Yeah.
I love it. It will always be my home, but, you know, it's time to fly away.
See what's up.
Yeah, so my girlfriend and I moved here. I really didn't even know too much about Tacoma before we moved here, and mm-hmm. she got a job or opportunity to transfer in her job. And we came over, we flew to Portland and drove up the coast, and we were like, oh my God, like
this is ridiculous.
And then we got to Olympia and we both woke up like with the flu on the day that it was to come and visit Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And we got here just feeling like fucking garbage. And we were just like, oh God, I don't even want to look around. Like, I don't even care. F- this place.
Yeah.
Fuck life. Like,
this and is then awesome.
The next day we both felt a little bit better and we went and saw the mountain and we were like, this is it. This is amazing. Like
yeah.
The proximity to like go in any direction and there's something cool.
Mm-hmm.
In Pittsburgh, you go in any direction and it's just like, there's Lake Erie, there's Cleveland, you know, you can go to New York. I mean, but it is pretty far.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love it here.
Yeah. It's cool to hear. I like to hear people's perspectives that moved here from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because it kind of refreshes yours. Because I'm like burnt out on it. So I'll like rank
I'm
on
sure.
It.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like I was the same way with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went back and visited recently. And it's like things are the same, but like things changed. And I don't know. It's weird. There's a lot of development, just like everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, it's
everywhere.
Everything's getting expensive. Everything's getting high rise weirdo condos.
We have that.
Yeah, we do. We do.
It's weird.
Is there a build limit though? Like a height limit in Tacoma?
Is there?
Probably different neighborhoods.
There is.
Well, I mean that's at least being a peninsula, you know, like it. It can only go up in so many regards before you start going into like, you know, Midland, Parkland and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
So it's good that there's a build limit, I guess. Then you go underground.
It's weird though. Cause they're going high though. The ones downtown, there's like a Chinese investment firm. That one is huge. And like 40 stories or something. It's like something weird. It's like the tallest thing.
Yeah. There's a new apartment complex and stadium too.
Yeah. That's, by Stadium Thriftway.
Right.
And that one's almost done. Pause.
I do.
I just wanted to see it. It doesn't matter.
No.
So.
Alright.
Pause. So, have you been involved in any of the, like, art culture here?
A little bit, yeah. I haven't done anything with, like, Spaceworks, like, the community organization to sort of like push artwork forward in Tacoma.
Yeah.
I haven't really, I'm very aware of it and, you know, just haven't gone that route yet. But I was actually in an art show where you were the featured artist, the Artist Mythos show.
Yeah.
In Hilltop. Me and my girlfriend Masha and a bunch of my friends were all in that show. Really, what I've been into lately is the Zine Symposium at Destiny City Comics. He does that 4 times a year. And whenever I first moved here, I heard about it because we have a zine thing in Pittsburgh and it's great. It's huge. I went to that and I was like, how do I get involved? And
yeah.
I've done, aside from one time where I was just like sick, I've done it every other time after that. And
yeah.
I'm hoping that people aren't getting sick of seeing me there like every time. <They're> like, this motherfucker with the masks again.
So you do zines too? You do like
zines? I do. Yeah, yeah.
Posters for the
I do the I do the posters. I don't know if this is a good time, but
let's make it a good time.
Mary Zine Miss.
Oh yeah, presents.
There's two zines here. One is my Discount Demon Deal zine. Yeah, it's essentially a catalog for young demons to buy, like gimmicky gifts and weird toys and cereals and whatever. It comes with a credit card. You can scan it. You get souls on demand. You cash them in for whatever. There's layaway. So this essentially, what this is it's an homage to like '90s comic book ads.
Yeah.
Like I remember going to the comic book store and there's sensory overload, especially in the '90s. It was just like, you know, everything was over the top and slimy and in your face. And I was just like, I loved it. You know, I think my attention span at the time was just like, you know, to go in and get a serial comic, you know, every week, every month and, you know, keep up on it. I was just more into the artwork and the ads were just like so crazy and weird.
Yeah. They stuck.
It was part of the art of the comic, you know,
right.
Just a different type of art.
Listeners have to go check it out.
You can find it. If you're local, you can go to Destiny City Comics. I always have them there. Or you go to my website, Mr. Kohler, KOEHLER.com. There's a shop tab. You can go there.
Cool.
And then there's another zine here.
Give me that.
There's another
and
zine.
This is sort of what I was talking about with that Funkadelic record is like just filling it. So like, you know, it's a zine where you could just look at that for a while, you know, at least that's my intention.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Funkadelic? What?
Oh, well, here, I was talking about this record here. It's the Electric Spanking War Babies. And it's like self-censorship on the cover here.
Yeah.
But then you open it up and it's just like overload. It's like you could just like
it's out in the business now.
Yeah, yeah. This is where like somebody would find this in the 70s, just get baked and look at this for like a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Yeah. I forget who the artist's name is on here somewhere, but maybe it's this.
See it.
Captain Z Squad, Captain Draw, G Lance Everett, Edwina Owens.
Captain Draw.
Yeah.
I like that
Captain
guy.
Captain Draw.
Who are you? Hey, I'm Captain Draw.
Yeah. Will you draw me? Lieutenant Quill. Will
you draw me? Did you do that for you?
Yeah.
Is this a tracing?
What's up with that song? Is there a song that goes with that? Let's have you DJ some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do the story time sing along.
Oh, there's not one on that. I just brought that because it's a fun record.
Oh, okay.
I could play something else that's a little bit more relevant to. I brought two Funkadelic records because I just like them so much. All right, so. Is this what I want to start with? Yeah, I guess so. This is what we're going to do.
All right. Michael Kohler, Storytime Sling Along.
The first song in this album is so crazy.
And there's no sing. You don't have to sing or anything. It's just the title.
I don't know, man.
You can.
I might get lost in the moment. All right, here. I'm pretty like, I'm one of these guys with the records, you know, holding it on the edges. So I don't want to, like, damage your...
Yeah. Thanks.
You need to insert like a window crash in there. Yeah. I threw it across the room.
Oh, that's good.
Took out a few people. All right, so this is Roxy Music. This is their first album. This is famously Brian Eno and Brian Ferry, my two Brians, together at last.
Want some candy?
Yeah. Candy teeth for my rotting teeth. And it's got a constipated lady on the cover. So I'll play the song. Oh, this song is called the Bob Medley. It's short for I think it's Bombing of Britain or Battle of Britain. But here's the story. Let's let it get in a little bit. So
yeah, that's the shit.
Growing up, like, basically my whole like teenage years, and then like a few years prior to that, like maybe when I was 11 to, I don't know, in my mid-20s, I skateboarded. And it was basically, my life was skateboarding, underage drinking, and drawing. And they basically, like, if I wasn't skating, I was drawing. And really, like, a lot of the music that I was finding at the time was through skate tapes.
Yeah.
And, like, they're... I have nothing from my past. I really don't, like, I have some books, like, from my past and stuff, but, like, all my toys, all my videos, all my shit is, like, gone.
Yeah.
But, like, I had, like, a huge collection of, like, VHS skate tapes.
Wow.
And I was looking for, like, this one, I think it was a Birdhouse video with Willie Santos. He had a part with Rebel, like, David Bowie's Rebel on it. But then I ran into, I don't know if you remember the Baker 3 video.
No, this is probably all when I'm done skating.
I think it came out in like 05, which was pretty late for me too.
Yeah.
But it's like an infamous video, and that was like on Andrew Reynolds' part.
Oh, yeah.
And
I did see that.
And it's just like, that was the first time that I heard Roxy Music, and I was like, not only is this like a perfect video, like a perfect skate tape, but that song is just like, it was like so powerful to me. Just like as a whole long medley. And then I found out it was about, like, you know, bombing of Britain. I was like, wow. I mean, that's a
heavy.
It's a heavy song to skate to. That's what was great about skate tapes, was like, it was all over the place. Like, you can have, like, I had one where it was like, I don't know, like Dead Kennedys. And then the next song would be like De La Soul or something like that. You know, and it was just like across the gamut, you know. And it
We're not even talking right now. All we're doing is agreeing at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Over and over and over again. It's exactly like how we grew up.
Yeah, or, for sure.
You know, speaking for Jeff.
Yeah.
But like just skaters in general.
Yeah.
Those skate tapes, like you were talking about Dinosaur Jr., like it got me into all the music that I was into for my life.
Yeah. It's funny to like, I have like, some records that I've like collected now, and like some old CDs that I've saved, and like I could trace this back to like a point in my time where this was like really like either important to me or just like it was like that was what I, you know, that was because we had like CDs or we would make mixtapes or something like
that.
And it was like
tapes.
Now, like you get on Spotify and you have the entire world of music, but like then you listen to the same 15 CDs over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get real intimate with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like put the CD up like on the stereo, like, you know, with the art there.
Yeah.
Or like read through the lyrics. Now I just like put my shit on shuffle, you know, and just like, fuck it, I'll listen to like the same 400,000 songs on shuffle, you know?
Dude, this sounds like a perfect time to get the question from the weird beard.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Bring it.
So we're going to do this part we call. Question from the weird beard. Like word. That? We do it like that.
Word.
And so we got the question, and we're going to play it for you, and then you have to answer it. That's the catch.
I get, yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's like a question.
I
got
to answer it.
Then you answer it.
Can I phone a friend? Is that still a thing?
You can do a lifeline. Yeah.
Oh,
you can do
there
one lifeline. So he's supposed to do one question, but mysteriously, he always does at least two. Very mysterious.
Very mysterious and intriguing.
So I'm just going to play this, and then you're going to...
Hello, Candy Teeth Radio. Hello, Michael. I understand that you are a creature creator after a fashion, and I'm in need of a name and backstory for a twisted, immoral raptor that steals, then refuses to eat human penises. If you could help me out with that, I would really appreciate it.
I can answer it. So the first question...
Yeah, wait.
Do you need to hear it again?
No, I got it. I got it, yeah. You got it. I think, yeah. First question was, hi. Second was, he needs a backstory.
Yeah.
It seems like he gave it a backstory, though.
He needs a name, though.
Yeah, he wrote it.
He needs a name?
Yeah, is that it? Should we play it again?
Backstory.
Name and backstory for a penis-robbing raptor.
Not eating.
Yeah, he can't eat it.
Not for eating.
He's also immoral, it says.
Oh, he's immoral.
He's a dick.
He is a dick-stealing dick. Don't eat the dick.
Like, just for nothing. Just using it. Yeah. Just getting it off.
Putting it in a jar or what?
Oh, man.
No, he just kicks it. Kicks it down the road for a minute. Yeah, that's it. Rolls it.
With his little raptor toe.
Yeah. Flicking it. Like,
yeah.
And just laughing at you. A little raptor laugh.
You're like, why'd you do that, man?
He's like, you missed him.
I don't know.
Yeah, he just like tears it off with his claw. Okay. So his name would probably, I don't know, be something like Chaz.
Ooh.
Chaz, fucking dick flinger.
Oh, wow. He's coming. He's coming down the road. He's far away.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you wouldn't really know his name. You would just call him that dick flinger, you know? Like,
yeah.
But he's like, my name's Chaz, you know?
My name is Chaz.
I have a real name, just like everyone else.
Rip.
That's why he rips it off. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
He's pissed.
You know? If you just called him by his real name, Chester.
That's all he wants. That's all he wants.
Yep.
That's what his dad called him before he left.
Before he had to rip it off.
Oh.
I have no dad. I don't know, but I feel like I need to draw that one out.
I like
Chester
that
the dick flinger.
Raptor. That's all he was doing was planting a seed. An illustration seed.
Yeah, right?
Seed.
That's a weird beard, man.
He's weird. Let's see what else he's talking about, because I think he did pretty good.
That's pretty much how I write all of my, you know, I figure...
Dick flinger.
Yeah, you know, like...
Chester.
Have a story about a dick and create a character around
there.
That.
Yeah,
know?
Go from there. Organically let it grow.
Yeah. What's a bat dick look like? I don't know. First, I got to draw the bat.
Let's see what else Weirdbird is going to ask.
That's pretty good answer to question one.
Yeah. Dick flinger.
Let's see. For my second question, my sources tell me that you are also a vinyl collector. I live in the future where a computer suggests what I'm listening to. Plucks it from a cloud containing multitudes, then beams it directly to my brain, probably with lasers. What is it about antiquated plastic discs of music that you love so much? Thanks, guys. Now, we're going to talk about your show coming up that I've been told about, and, I mean, I don't know if this will come out in time for you to promote it, but, I mean, at least promote your website. Bye. Thank you, bye.
You can always promote your website.
All right. Yeah, I did, but if you want to check it out, it's Mr. Kohler, MrKohler.
Thank you for the marketing tips. Weird beard.
Yeah. That fucking beard. Yeah. About records, you know, my dream, and I'm fairly certain, I'm like 96% certain at this point that this is, like, real. I'm just, like, I'm getting to be that point where I just want to be a Luddite, like, out in the woods, like no Wi-Fi, maybe a little. It's, like, buried out in the yard.
I almost scratched your record right there, just for the sound effect.
Yeah, put it in broken glass, just for, you know.
Cat.
I mean, I got Spotify, and it's cool, like, to... I use Spotify, like, all day, every day, if I'm able to. I like finding new music on there. Like, I was telling Jeremy earlier, like, I'll go, like... I mean, I go down YouTube rabbit holes, but I go down Spotify rabbit holes, like, in a big way, where I just... I'll just go to related artists, and find all sorts of new shit. But I kind of like the whole, like... Let's slow down, put on a record, just be present and listen to it. It's the whole ritual of it, you know, yeah. Where it's like, it sort of gets back to like, I used to have 15 CDs that I would listen to on a loop, you know, like now we have Spotify and Pandora and whatever, you know, your huge libraries where I'll like put on like usually some instrumental music or something.
Yeah.
But with a record, it's like a... It, for me, it's like I'm going to sit down and I'm going to actively listen to this, or sometimes passively. But you, I mean, with a record player, sometimes you got to be active because yeah. like it demands yeah. attention. It's like, I'm done playing this.
End I'm done playing this.
Yeah.
I'm done
playing yeah, right. this. and I love album artwork so much. Uh-huh. You know, I just like, you know, I have like a little pedestal thing.
Like, oh, where you set it up?
Yeah, and I'll just, like, look at the art. It's, like, going back to whenever I was a teenager, and I would do that, like...
Yeah.
I would put the CD on, and I would put the CD up on the stereo, and just, like, look at the artwork, and, you know, zone out and shit.
So yeah.
It's just, like, a whole, like, just bring it down, get out of the f***ing cloud for a little bit, and just, like, chill in reality. Real everything. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's real. Those clicks are real. Dude, I like the 70s part of the, like, everybody in their room with the headphones. That yeah, was, like, a thing yeah. that I saw Dude, growing
I,
up.
Yeah, I still do that. I have these big, yeah. like, they're like weird headphones, and you hear so much more. Because, like, especially, like, older shit, they used to just, like, put a lot of little things in there. Or just, like, weird pans and weird... You know,
yeah,
just like,
it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
and
like the Beatles micro are tripping. Music. Yeah, yeah. yeah, it's like the Pet Sounds album, you know? Where,
yeah.
Like, I guess Mike Love, like, infamously said, like, you know, you got to be a dog to hear that shit. Or, like, whatever, you know? Because it's, like, all these, like, minute little things in there, but it was, like, put there with intention for you to really, like, actively and, like, sit there and listen to it and just appreciate it.
Yeah,
or appreciate it.
Experience it
as a whole. You yeah, know, not just as like a background while you're on your phone. You know, also watching TV. You know, while your dinner's burning on the stove.
Right.
What were you gonna say, Horacio? Were you gonna say something?
I was wondering, does anybody know vinyl degrades at all, like over time?
Over a super long.
Yeah, time. I'm sure it does. Yeah, I mean, probably. if you take care of it in your lifetime, I'm sure it'll be fine. But like, it's plastic.
Cause
I was
right, because like. I was wondering, like, they make it out of this plastic where it'll last a long time. You know, mm-hmm. like, let's say yeah. like, this civilization doesn't make it, you know. And, like,
all the yeah. fun
like,
records.
Like, all the stuff that we're finding. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
well, that's
from
right.
the archaeologists
you know.
And stuff, you know. Like, who knows what they'll find in the future. Just, like,
yeah.
some cool records, you know. Some dude mm-hmm, had,
dude,
like.
That'd be the sh- yeah.
That'd be cool. Like, I'd be a super stoked archaeologist finding that
Some
stuff.
Dude found, like, an Adele record. He's like, this Damn. Is with the... And actually, it probably would be true. This is, like, what culture was like.
Yeah.
Right. You're on Adele. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's true. Oh,
yeah.
man.
Dang.
Yeah, dude, there's a record that NASA made. It's, like, a gold. I think it was, like, pressed in,
All
like,
right. they sent it out,
in
right?
gold and, yeah. like, sent it out into the world, you know? I don't know what's on the record, though. Just a bunch of, like, little, what they think aliens sound like. In every language, they say, what's up?
What's up?
Have you ever been to Vegas?
I've never been to Vegas, but you have.
I just went. Yeah. It was nuts. And it was like...
Was that your first Vegas. Time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I did like it, but for different things. It wasn't...
You went to Las Vegas and saw, like, the pyramids and the Eiffel Tower
mm-hmm.
and Trump
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you saw the whole shebang.
Yeah, you can't avoid it, Jeff. It's bigger than all the other ones.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Is it
like it's a large phallus that
it says like this.
Erupts into the sky.
And then it just says Trump.
Yeah.
In gold. And then on the side, it has a huge T.
Does it have balls too?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just like, I think it's limp. So the T is like, I think the balls are like the top of the T.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not his fault, dude. He's old. And there's a lot of pressures.
There's a lot of pressures of being
a lot of pressures. Person. No, a lot of pressures with how many secrets you got that you're like, God damn it. They're going to come out. Wait a minute. Why am I talking about Trump? I'm like not supposed to talk about Trump. I just did it. Anyways, Las Vegas.
Trump's.
So we're walking down this road, right? In Las Vegas. Random road.
Random road? Were there any casinos on it?
There's a whole bunch of casinos on it, but then it was right where they stopped. And we're walking down the road, and then there's a pole, right? Like a electrical pole.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just, oh, Tupac, you're the best. Oh, all day and day. Tupac, keep it real. From where he died right there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Okay. It's all over. Headless dude got up in there.
Wow.
Here in Vegas, where the most violent portion of Tupac Shakur's Saturday night was supposed to take place behind me, over there at the MGM Grand, where Tupac saw Mike Tyson pound Bruce Seldon into submission less than 2 minutes into their heavyweight bout. The fight ended around 8:55 local time, and from there, Tupac headed off to the home of Suge Knight, which is about 5 miles away from here. He's head of Death Row Records. From there, they were to go to Club 662, that's Knight's Club, for a celebration in honor of Tyson that was going to feature entertainment by people like Run DMC. But the caravan of cars from Knight's house never got to the club. Tupac and Suge Knight left Knight's home around 10:30 to go to Club 662. By 11:15 that evening, they were heading east on Flamingo, just coming to this intersection here at Koval. They were driving a black BMW 1996 model. Knight was driving, Tupac was in the passenger seat. Along the passenger side, right over here, came a late model white Cadillac. From inside, shots were fired, 14 of them. Tupac was hit 4 times. Twice in the chest, once in the arm, and once in the thigh. Knight was mildly injured by some bullet fragments, but he promptly floored the car, spinning it completely around and took a U-turn so that it instantly headed west on Flamingo. With Tupac bleeding profusely in the passenger seat, Suge Knight was able to get his vehicle just about a mile away from the site of the shooting. Something of a miracle given his condition, the condition of his car, which had a flat tire, and the fact that the traffic on the strip after a heavyweight fight in Vegas is something to behold. They made it to this corner here, Las Vegas Boulevard and Harmon Avenue, where they were finally pulled over by the bike patrol, radioed ahead to paramedics who swept them off to University Medical Center. Their evening out in Las Vegas ending just a few steps away from where it had begun. DMG and Grant.
But yeah, that was nuts because we were just walking. Like, we had to stop at that stoplight.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, what's that? Why is it written on, like, everywhere?
Yeah.
And
that's super random.
And then it was that. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I got some cool pics.
So you said it's right where the casinos end?
Yeah.
So, like, that interests me. Like what's, like, next door to the last casino? You know what I'm saying? Like,
the desert.
The dude that was parked there waiting for them to drive by. Yeah, that was a nuts one. We walked by there was like a memorial wall to everybody that got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody that I was with went and checked it out. And then I was cool with it. I was like, I don't know if I'm into reading like mom, daughter, dad, mom, brother, daughter, dad, mom, kid, mom, dad, brother, uncle, Joey, all that.
Mm.
So I just stayed on the back burner because I didn't want to take that in because I take stuff like that in. And so I did Scarf instead. Mm-hmm. All around that place, there was like a graffiti spot. And like Scarf got up real quick. That's the puppet, Scarf.
Oh, I'm aware of Scarf.
Yeah, cool. I always talk about it like it's real and people don't.
Yeah.
And then
my boy Scarf.
Like, yeah, people are like, who's Scarf?
Yeah.
Just talk about Scarf.
He's real small. He lives in my bag.
Don't worry about it.
You can punch him if you want.
He's got breathing holes. Don't worry.
Punch him in his right eye.
Yeah.
So Las Vegas. So that was our Las Vegas. We only did the like Vegas Strip, 2 nights.
Okay.
But on one of them, we went to the old Vegas.
Okay.
Where it's like Fremont Street is what it's called, and it's like the real because the other Vegas was like clean. And I was like, the way I pictured it wasn't clean.
Yeah, no, I don't picture it being clean.
No, and everything's clean and just dope. Like all
picture
the
like when in like Back to the Future 2 when he goes to the future, like 2035 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's all trashed out and like,
oh yeah,
awful.
Right.
Like that's what
it's
I pictured.
Because Biff was in charge.
Right, because Biff was in charge. I feel like it looks like that.
Yeah, kind of feels like that. But
but it was cleaned
in
up.
The real
Biff,
one.
Biff is in charge in real life.
In the, no, Biff is in charge in the old Vegas part, because that's the dirty part.
That's the part that will give Trump a gambling license.
Yeah, right.
Under a different name.
Yeah.
So they have circles painted on the ground there, where they're like the entertainment circles, you know? And like you can do your little deal there. You can like play the buckets if you're a badass drummer.
Oh, shit. It's like assigned seating.
You're busker.
Yeah, you're a busker, and
busker
so you go
stall.
To those spots.
Yeah.
And you can, so we saw that, the drummer, bucket drummers everywhere, and they were sick.
Yeah, that's just cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then when you see it like on that level, because they're like doing it there for real.
Yeah.
And then there was the fuck you clowns.
What now?
There was the...
Yeah.
No, I can say it and then beep it. It's beep. Sorry, I'm doing it in my head.
There's a lot of beeps.
There's a lot
of
beeps.
There's plenty of beeping to do for this one.
Oh, is this censored?
Yeah, for the radio.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Oh, jeez.
Man, you should have told me that. I would have...
Oh, jeez. Sorry, I didn't even think about telling anybody.
Yeah, well,
I tell
fuck
people.
You.
I wonder, like, if, like, in reality, like, if I tell somebody, you know, like, hey, try to keep it down on the things. Like,
if it,
is, if
it starts
it. Makes,
no,
like,
I think if you would have told me, like, this is... We're gonna beep you, you know. Then I would be like, I don't want to be beeped.
Yeah,
you know, like
sometimes like it's natural, you know. Just
yeah.
Like, are you gonna use like the?
But it's hard
like,
when it's
talk
what
show, like beep, like Jerry's.
Yeah.
Beep, like, beep.
Yeah.
That's the beep.
Yeah.
maybe not as harsh.
Yeah, it's not that hard, but it's like a beep though.
Yeah, that one's like more for shock value.
Can you use like a broken glass sound every time I swear?
Yeah, we can do that, man.
I just threw a bunch of rocks in a greenhouse.
Well, there's 14 edits in this section. I don't know if we need this section.
But I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it when they're holding the sign that says "fuck you."
This is a clown.
Yeah.
Like dressed up as a clown with the face paint and everything.
With a horrible face.
Yeah, I'm not into
like
that.
The scariest face ever. And they're little. There's two of them.
Okay.
And they're little.
I think I would shoot them.
Yeah. But you don't. You just get scared.
I would never shoot someone, but
it's like
if
weird.
If I was going to, that would be the person that would push me over the borderline.
Do they have a tip jar?
Dude, I could knock out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just made hella cash.
They're like, fuck you, tip me.
Yeah.
That's weird. And there's something about, I know that I'm making masks now, so I might sound, this might sound like an oxymoron, but like, there's something about a mask or a costume and that sense of anonymity. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an internet troll, you know? Like,
yes.
It gives you power to just, like, say, fuck you, you know, on a sign.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really bizarre. I think for some people it's really liberating in a good way.
Makes it loose. You're all, woo-hoo-hoo. That's how I just got. I just threatened him right when I put the thing on. I was like,
Yeah, it makes
and
you
I was like,
feel
yeah.
like a little like like you realize like I could kind of like get away with some shit in here because like you know and the mask actually does give you a little bit of power, but it's a weird like I don't know if it's like ego power or if it's just like a weird like lifting of
like opening up.
Yeah,
that's
like
so sick.
But you know one thing, one thing that made this really like sort of apparent to me is like, in Pittsburgh, the furry convention is there every year.
Dude,
and one time me and my girlfriend we didn't go into the furry convention because it's expensive as fuck. We wanted to go in there just to like, you know, just to see, you know. Like,
yeah,
we didn't necessarily participate, but we just went downtown and watched and like. Like people, once they put that mask on, they like take on a different persona and like take on a like, I guess for a lot of people, a character.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like they don't feel comfortable with being, but once they put that on, you know, they could be, you know, a purple werewolf that like wears a boombox necklace and like. break dances, but you know, normally they're like Derek from, you know, accounting or whatever.
I'm just trying to act out some stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to get some stuff out. Have sex with some zebras.
Yeah, man.
Furries, man.
Furries, dude.
I'm totally into it. I hate it.
I couldn't not talk about furries. Being from Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that the furry capital?
I don't know. They descend upon Pittsburgh every year. I think it might be. There are other furry conventions, but they definitely like Pittsburgh. I don't know what it is. What's funny too is it's always in fucking July.
What?
Sorry. Always in July, and I don't know.
It's hot.
And the East Coast, especially like Western Pennsylvania, it gets so humid, and it's like 99 degrees and like 80% humidity.
Yeah.
And these people are in these like fur suits.
Wow.
Outside, you know, like walking around downtown, and I'm just like, that's gotta be so swampy.
So what do you got going on for the?
This is Gary Newman.
Gary Newman.
It's the Pleasure Principle. This is the one that has his famous song, Cars. But the song's, I feel like this is a great, like, synthy album from the 80s, and it's just so weird. I tend to like music that, like, sort of, I mean, I like a ton of music, like, just all across the board, but music that sorts of, like, puts me into a different, like, weird, elevated sort of place.
Yeah.
Like I was talking about that Prince Rama record where it sounds like pop music made by like cult members, you know, it's I'm sorry, Prince Rama, if you're listening and that wasn't your intention. I really like your music.
It's more just that, like, that it's like a window into some other thing that you
Maybe, like, that's, like, escapist or whatever to, like, you know, look into this, like, weird realm. But I think that's what, like, a lot of my art is about. It's just,
like, along with your art.
Yeah. I just, like, I like to paint, like weird shit and weird worlds and, you know, specifically now, weird characters.
Yeah.
But the next thing really is to start painting them, you know. I just wanted to start by painting like these masks, but it's just the masks that get things started. Like, you know, masks are put on people and then they transform into
that's
these characters.
Yeah.
These characters live in these cults and then these cults live in these lands, and you know, it's just it all started from there, but then it's gonna sort of branch out in every direction.
Yeah. That's exciting. People need to go check that out again.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story behind every character, it seems.
There is a story behind every character. So, I wrote like a short blurb about every character, either like about their history, where they've been, what their like motives are, and like sort of their personality. Like the young Chasm Percher, which this mask was based off of, is like a little mischievous guy, and actually it's a bunch of characters, like they'll just wrangle up humans and be like, you're a Chasm Percher now, wear this mask.
The mask,
yeah, the mask. You put the mask on, they wrangle humans, you know, and they just like put the masks on, and then they become these characters, and their little Chasm Perchers are like their scouts, you know.
Wow.
So they put them up there just to f- with travelers. But yeah, they're like mischievous little, they're not going to kill you or anything, but they're probably going to like fuck with
weird.
You a lot.
Yeah.
Nah. Mess with you a lot.
Beep, beep. Sticky, man.
So are you like coming up with these stories on the fly
yeah.
as each character is created, or do you have like this like outline of like, you're like, I want these characters and it's going to have to look like this then?
No, it's not nearly that like organized. It's getting to the point now where I'm starting to like, I'm like, well, these characters exist in this world.
Right.
And I have to take account for that. But while I was painting these, like the first one I painted was that young little bat percher.
Yeah.
Chasm Percher. And I really had no, and I was just like, I'm just fucking around.
You didn't know what door you opened.
Yeah. And then I realized like, wow, this is really cool. And I want to just keep going with this. And then I started writing stories for each one and just giving them personality.
Yeah.
And then it started going beyond the personality or beyond the like blurbs that I wrote. And I would think about them like just all the time, you know, like what really is like that character like what is it doing, like not when it's like wreaking havoc in the astral realm, yeah. You know, like
what about when it finds $5 in the gutter?
Yeah, exactly. Like what, you know, it finds like a drum in a forest, like mm-hmm. what's it gonna do? Is it gonna play it, or is it gonna like go and like break it or yeah. you know, like do something weird and like I don't know, make a boat out of it, or like it's just like,
dude, I totally like, understand.
Yeah, I just kind of want to like create these characters and let them loose in this world and see what happens, you know, mm-hmm. because I used to paint very like for lack of a better word, like sort of like manicured, at least like organized in my mind, like I would think of it like I did a series of paintings that were about archetypes and mm-hmm. the ecosystems that would exist in a particular archetype. Interesting. So I picked a bunch of archetypes. Like the first one I did, which it wasn't necessarily like a traditional archetype, but it was like, it was an addict. Mm-hmm. And the addict was this weird like cavern. It was very dark and isolated, and there were two people knife fighting
inside.
And it's great. But I thought a long time about that. And I really like didn't necessarily agonize over it, but like I wanted it to be like perfect for what I was putting out there. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm sort of just like loosening, and just letting whatever wants to happen.
Yeah. It's organic.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to do that a little like, technically too, you know, the painting style and everything. That's a little harder for me because I tend to just get in there and like, I want it to be perfect.
Right.
You know, but I also like, I've seen like the looser stuff that I've done and I'm like, man, that's fucking great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I understand this problem too.
Yeah.
But it's cool when you get over that though. And you just start making whatever you want fast.
It's when you get in that like sort of that painting flow, you know, where it just like starts coming. Before that, it's just like work, you know,
it's work.
Yeah.
It feels like work. I hate that part. And I like it that you just bust open to that next level where it starts to get back to working. The flow starts again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're like, woo.
There's something to the work though. I mean, like I once heard a quote. It was actually, I think it was from like a NFL player or something like that. And somebody asked him like, what makes you like keep doing this? Like why, like you work out every day, you know, for like hours and like
for your whole life.
Yeah. Like what is it that keeps you going? I forget the exact question, but the answer was, it's boring. It's boring. I realize that it's boring, but what you have to do is like just be okay with like it being bored, you know, getting through that work, because it's the point of like after the work is done, like the payoff that comes after that.
Right.
You know, or, you know, in the case of painting, like you work through a bunch of parts, like let's say you're doing an acrylic painting and you're doing a bunch of layers and like base coats and stuff. And then you see it start to, you know, add dimension. You see like, okay, I had all my darks, my midtones, my lights are coming in. My highlights, I'm reinstating the darks. Like it's all coming together, you know? And it wouldn't happen if it wasn't for like all the initial shit that you had to go through that was boring as shit. Right. Really boring.
Yeah.
I'm now realizing how much I swear.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's why like we don't, or I don't like to mention it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Plus, if it's just
I blame it on Ed Krupa.
Ed Krupa at Two Raven Studios.
Two Raven Studios.
If it's just too raunchy, we just will. It'll be internet only.
Oh, okay. Fine. What's the radio that you're?
Radio Tacoma. KTAH.
KTAH.
101.9 FM. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a
I'm
new
radio
thing.
Famous now.
It's a new thing. Wait till you're
that's
on it.
That's better
though.
Than the internet.
wait till you're on it though. First, you gotta wait till you make it.
Yeah,
It's not on there until it's on there.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. Hell yeah.
That's crazy.
Then you'll be radio famous. Tacoma, radio famous.
Right.
I was going to say something so profound.
Is it? Or,
oh, shit.
Profound.
If you don't
profound.
Have, if you don't have your
stuff ready,
go ahead. I'm going to get something synced up here.
Nice.
I forgot about it.
Until I did too.
One
that was
specific
awesome.
Word.
All right. So we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick, pretty soon.
Okay.
But.
Maybe let's get this.
But.
Give me some of that candy.
Give me some of that candy.
It's a chocolate.
It's chocolate.
It's all chocolate.
You didn't know it was chocolate?
No.
That's why you denied it earlier?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for coming out.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to everybody for listening. Like I said before, check out the Facebook page. Till next time, stay alive. Who's magic? Who's magic? Who's magic?